You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast Network.
You're listening to the DolphinsTalk.com Podcast, the most listened to daily Miami Dolphins podcast on the internet. Come on, Dolphins fans. Time to fins up. Good evening, Miami Dolphins fans. How are you today? And thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast on this Sunday, March the 10th, as we are on the eve of NFL free agency, and the Dolphins are making some smaller moves. As they get ready for the start of the new league year on Wednesday and the start of the legal tampering period on Monday. And I, along with Tom Arnese from right here at DolphinsTalk.com, will talk about all the latest. Tom, how you doing tonight?
Good, man. It's about to be hopefully busy. I mean, it's been a fairly busy Sunday for the Dolphins, as there's been some news that we're going to talk about through this show. Legal tampering starts at noon on Monday, which means free agency starts in
at noon on Monday,
roughly 16 hours and 15 minutes. So
yeah,
get ready, buckle up. Let's go.
Yeah. Cause what you're going to see Monday is so-and-so and so-and-so have agreed to terms in principle, meaning they agreed to a contract. Nobody ever goes back on their word at that point. So free agency starts on Monday. I hate that they do this. You should have a start on Monday and not play this whole rigmarole of, oh, it's legal tampering. No, they're agreeing to deals. They just can't put pen to paper till Wednesday afternoon.
Also, been tampering since the combine.
Yeah, for real. The teams have been tampering much longer after that. Before we get to any of that, as always, a big shout out to everyone listening at finheaven.com. Everyone go to finheaven.com, the largest Miami Dolphins message board on the internet. Also, a shout out to our friends at the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page. If you are on Facebook, please be sure you are a part of the I Am a Miami Dolphins Fan Facebook page, run by the great Carlos Hernandez. And wherever you're listening to this podcast, whether it's Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, Google Play, Audible, Podbean, Podchaser, subscribe. We're probably going to have shows every day this week. The news is going to come fast and furious. You're going to want to hear the latest thoughts and opinions we have on all the late-breaking news, any new additions, any guys who we hope don't leave but will leave. We will have it probably each and every night, and we might even have multiple shows in a day, depending on what news breaks. So subscribe to wherever you're listening to this podcast on whatever platform. Subscribe. All right, let's start with the big story, I guess, from Sunday. The Dolphins and Teron Armstead have agreed to a reworked contract. Now, the wording here is interesting. It's not a restructure. I mean, it is, but it isn't. It's a restructure, but it's also a reworked deal, meaning we don't have the information yet, but the only way that Miami will make any type of move is to save salary cap space. So you would have to think in this year, 2024, they're going to open up salary cap space. And you would think for Miami to have a reworked deal would mean Armstead is currently signed through 2026. They're probably going to chop off a year, maybe two, of that contract, give him more money in a signing bonus this year, lose a couple years at the end so they can move on from him sooner. He's been talking about retirement. So without all the details, we don't know yet. The only way this works for either side is if Miami can have a clean break from him sooner, because the guy's always hurt. And Armstead, who might want to retire here after this year, because he's had a million injuries the past few years, can get more money guaranteed in his hand right now. And then if he wants to retire in a year or so, so be it. That would make all sides happy. We think that's what's going on. We don't know, but there has to be that, right, Tom?
One would imagine, you know, the fact that he was tinkering with the idea of retirement and to get out of his contract, if they were to restructure it, makes it far, far worse. And there's really not a ton of cap savings with a restructure of Armstead. I think it was only like $6-7 million that they would save. So they'd only reduce his cap hit $6-7 million to about 12 or 13. I don't have the numbers in front of me. But if Armstead and the Dolphins came together, and Armstead said, look, I'm going to give you one, you know, I'm going to give this one more year, one more go with you guys. How can I help? That's a hell of a gesture from him. And the Dolphins can, like you said, they can give him a, like maybe a 2-year deal or a 1-year deal, whatever it might be. Give him a nice signing bonus for being a, you know, good teammate, a good person. Helping this team potentially grow in free agency, knowing that there's going to be probably a lot of losses, a lot of guys they can't bring back. And if he does retire, it's not going to hurt the Miami Dolphins next year in 2025. And it'll be a clean break, because if a guy retires, doesn't mean his contract goes bye-bye like it's nothing.
No, it all gets moved up to that year.
Everything gets moved to that year of him retiring, and that's a lot of dead cap, and that's a lot of lost cap space. So a reworked contract, not a restructure, is phenomenal, and I applaud Armstead if that is the case. But we'll wait and see what the numbers look like. Clearly they haven't said anything, but the news broke around lunchtime today that Armstead told the team, I will be back, and they are reworking his deal.
Yeah, and look, I mean, it's nice, but it's not also a noble act. He's getting more money out of this one way or another.
He'll get more money.
He's doing it for the money. And yeah, and if you're the Dolphins, you get some salary cap relief, which you need, because you still got to shave off roughly 18 to 20 million by Wednesday afternoon, or else you're not going to be able to sign anybody. So it's a win-win for both sides here. But yeah, I think depending on how this is worded and how this looks, I think it's safe to say this will be Armstead's final year with the Dolphins. Not that he's not a very good player. It's just he doesn't play enough, which, look, it's a rough sport. I don't want to knock the guy for being hurt, but it's the reality. And with the NFL soon, and by soon, I mean like in a year, they will be heading to an 18-game regular season. You got to have guys who, look, if a guy misses one or two games, that doesn't make him injury-prone. A guy misses like 10, well, then, yeah, you can use that word. And Armstead the past 2 years has played in 10 games and 13 games, which – for a guy making like 1/8 of his money, fine. For a guy making that type of money, you kind of hope for a little more. So we'll see when the numbers come out, and I'm sure we'll talk about that in the next day or two. Also, right before we started recording, the Miami Dolphins agreed to a 1-year deal with offensive lineman Robert Jones. Now, this is – I've been a huge fan of Robert Jones. He was an undrafted free agent in 2021 out of Middle Tennessee. At right guard, this guy – can run block like no tomorrow. Now, he can't pass block for shit. But as a run blocker, he is fantastic. And hopefully, you know, he's not here. They're going to lose Robert Hunt. Yeah. I mean, spoiler Without alert, he ain't Without coming back. That. So do I think Robert Jones is an answer? No, clearly not. Because, again, he can't pass block and he will get your quarterback killed. But so, he is a capable backup right guard should he have to play in a pinch for a few games. Tom, what are your thoughts on Robert Jones here re-signing on a 1-year deal?
I had him in my free agent primer, which is up at dolphinstalk.com, and my plan was to bring him back. I had a 2-year contract for him for roughly, I think it was $5 million. But a 1-year deal is good. Robert Jones is a young football player. He played 418 snaps, obviously because of all the injuries that happened up front with Isaiah Wynn, and then Robert Hunt. Robert Jones played meaningful games and meaningful minutes. So it was good to bring him back because he has experience in this offense, and losing a guy like Robert Hunt, which is highly likely based on these contracts that are being handed out for freaking guards right now. But he's a solid player. In a pinch, he's going to be able to play left guard or right guard for you. And that's what you want. You want quality depth football players. He is a quality depth football player. Is he a starter? He started. I wouldn't say that I would want him out there for week one with the starting five, but he has experience, and that is what the Dolphins need, is experience at the guard position. So I applaud the signing. I thought it was good. And hopefully they continue to add back to the offensive line in the coming days.
He actually started that playoff game 2 years ago versus the Bills on the road.
Yep.
No, was it him or Lester Cotton or both?
I want to say it was both.
It might have been both, which is kind of sad. But yeah, Jones is a nice piece. And again, he can run block with the best of them. just when it comes to pass blocking, oof, that's a rough watch. The Dolphins also re-signed cornerback Nick Needham and safety slash corner Elijah Campbell. Two small moves again. I don't have all the information on the length of deals. I think Campbell's was a one-year deal. Yep. But here's the deal. Both can play cornerback and safety, have a lot of versatility there. Campbell's really good on special teams, so you have to take that into account. I thought Campbell stepped up huge last year when Javon Holland went down for pretty much all the second half of the season. I thought Campbell stepped up and played well. He's the perfect guy you want on your team for depth because he ain't going to cost a lot of money and he can play multiple positions. Needham had a long road back from the Achilles injury. He wasn't active until like late October last year. Which
and even then, he didn't look like himself.
Yeah, he didn't look like himself, which is why that's scary because you look at someone like a Jalen Phillips and what he's going to come back from. It took Needham that long just to get on the field. And when he's on the field, he didn't look like himself. That's why when it comes to Chubb, when it comes to Jalen, 2025 is more realistic for those guys to even look like their old selves. 2024, I don't even think Chubb's going to play this year, honestly. And I think with Jalen, he might see the field, but he ain't going to look like the guy we were used to seeing. I think 2025 for them, but I digress because that's the type of injury we saw with Needham firsthand. It is a brutal injury. But before the injury, he was great. And if he can find that form again, look, here's the deal, folks. Xavier Howard's gone. Nobody wants to see Eli Apple back. We don't know if Elliott or Jones are going to be back at safety. And we have Cam Smith, but as I always say, Cam Smith might be the next Patrick Surtain, Sam Madison, or he might be the next Noah Igbinoghi. We have no friggin' clue. We are just blind in the dark on Cam Smith. The Dolphins bringing back Needham and Campbell for depth purposes is big. I mean, it's not huge. It's big because until we find out what they do at starting corner opposite Ramsey, and I don't think it's going to be Cam Smith, they're going to have to sign someone who's a veteran. They're going to have to sign at least one safety, maybe two. Having these guys on the roster just help because you know in a pinch they can play. They have before. They're not great. They're not superstars. But, again, on cheap deals for depth, can't complain with those moves.
No, Campbell is a solid defensive special teams player. He played in a pinch at safety. Again, overall depth signing, I'm not mad about it. He's going to be a more of a core special teams player than he is going to be seeing time at safety or any of the defensive back spots. With Nick Needham, I'm very happy he's back. He is one of those guys undrafted from UTEP who came on in his rookie season, played very strong down the stretch of his rookie season in 2019. He's always been a quality depth player. That Achilles injury that he suffered in 2022 obviously definitely hindered him. It was a terrible thing to see because he was coming into his own. He was the starting was he starting slot in 22? I can't remember if he was the starting slot corner.
He might have been. But I think he was until he got hurt. Then he went to Cater, I think.
Yeah. Yep. And then Cater came on strong that year as well, obviously. But having Needham back is good. Again, quality depth. He should be more than 100% and more at full speed this year as he ramps up from that Achilles injury that he suffered in 2022. So, I like both signings, not going to hurt the team long-term, and it's good to have quality guys. And Nick Needham also is a guy that can play inside. He can play outside. He can play at safety. It's a versatile player, and we know if Anthony Weaver is bringing the concepts from Baltimore, having a guy like Nick Needham who can play multiple different spots in that secondary, he might see some meaningful minutes, obviously depending on how everything goes in free agency, but Nick Needham might see some meaningful minutes for the Dolphins in 2024.
Yeah, and here's the other thing. I know no fans of the Dolphins, you know, like to hear talk about. Cater Kohu is a rookie. It was fantastic. Cater Kohu last year was not very good. I mean, he just wasn't very good at either spot. When they moved him outside, he was really bad. And even as a slot, if, you know, you're into that PFF analytics stuff, he was terrible. So I think having Nick Needham around just in case, you know, the thing with the undrafted guys is they might have a moment. They might look good. They might look good here or there, even for a year. You always have to worry, have they peaked and have we seen their best? And So having him around, because he's got a little more experience than Cater, just in case the Cater Kohu train falls off a cliff or goes off the rails, as they say, having him around is a nice piece to have. Now, Tom, on this next one, we're probably going to get a little bit more passionate here. And here's the deal before I start this, folks. I know it's just the friggin' punter. I get it. Tom gets it. But here, but we have to, you know, you have to treat this in that the last 2 years, the season fell off a cliff. 8-3 collapse, 9-3 collapse. And if you want to take that next step, if you want to go further than you've been before, get out of round one of the playoffs, win a division, you have to improve in various aspects on the field, on the sideline with your coaching. You just have to improve. Status quo is not good enough. The definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. When I saw the Dolphins re-sign Jake Bailey, who was one of the worst punters in the NFL last year, that's by numbers. That's not an opinion. That's by numbers. One of the worst punters in the NFL last year. I was just at a loss for words. Now, again, I don't expect him to go out there and spend $5 million on a punter. I get it. But Jake Bailey stinks. I mean, it's just no other. He's not any good. And they signed him for 2 years, $4.2 million, $1.1 million signing bonus, $1.25 million guaranteed, and a bunch of other incentives. He was ranked 30th in punting, 24th in net punting. Now, the first problem Miami has, this is a Chris Greer issue, is they don't – Chris Greer doesn't value special teams. He just doesn't care. He thinks it's just meaningless and pointless. Well, I agree with him to a point. I don't want to spend huge money on a punter, on a kicker. I kind of get that. But when you see guys fail over and over and over and over again, at some point you got to say, you know, change for the sake of change is okay. It says I'm not spending real money anyways. Let's bring in anyone else because they can't be worse. And literally in the form of Jake Bailey, they can't be worse. And I know there's now been this new narrative by the people who just are the blind ass homers who never want to say anything negative at any times about the Dolphins ever. Well, he's a good holder and Jason Sanders likes him. Great. So now we're letting our kicker hold our punting game hostage because he likes the holder. If Jason Sanders can only kick well with one holder, guess what? Jason Sanders is a problem. He can kick his ass to the curb too and save about $2 million on the cap. Seriously, folks, Jake Bailey was awful. Special teams have been awful since Danny Crossman got here. How he's still employed is a mystery I will never understand. And then this past week, I'm reading in the Miami Herald that for some reason they want to bring back Braxton Berrios. Braxton Berrios last year did nothing on special teams. The only positive thing you can say is he didn't muff a punt or a kickoff, if that's a positive. He didn't bring any real yardage back. And then at wide receiver, he couldn't create any separation, couldn't get any yards. And I think he had like one game with more than like three receptions. I mean, he stinks at wide receiver. He does nothing on special teams. They view special teams as so much of an afterthought that they don't care. And it's like you can have that mindset, but probably also why we haven't won a playoff game in 24 years. And I know fans, again, I know you're probably just saying, just a punter, who cares? Just a punter, who cares? Well, when you're in a playoff game, when you're in a big game, week 17, 18, and Jake Bailey shanks a punt for 18 yards and Pat Mahomes or Josh Allen or Lamar Jackson in a big game in the fourth quarter is now starting at midfield, well, don't clutch your pearls and scream then, because this is the moment you should have been screaming that this is unacceptable for a team that has somewhat expectations to do something to bring back this guy who just can't play. He can't play. I'm trying to be nice here. He ain't any good. So I don't get it. It makes no sense. I'm not losing sleep over it. I'm not crying about it. But I'm just saying it's just this is why we're the Dolphins. It's like this guy's no good. The special teams coordinator's no good. And we keep running them back out there expecting a different result. And it's never going to happen because they stink.
I mean, has anyone really coined the term? I mean, we know the quarterbacks can be called noodle arms and things like that. Can we coin Jake Bailey as noodle leg? This guy
– oh, whatever you want.
This guy can't – he can't kick a lick, man. He's not good. Okay, great. He can hold for – you're going to pay a guy $2 million to hold a football for the kicker?
Sabotage every punt because Jason Sanders is happy.
Well, listen – I'm happy that Jason Sanders reverted back to his, you know, 2020 type season where he was kicking everything and I wasn't holding my breath every single time. But at the same time, special teams matter. This, in the NFL, it's not two phases of football. It is three phases of football. And special teams is looked at by the Miami Dolphins and Mike McDaniel as an absolute joke. They don't care. You brought back Danny Crossman and you brought back Jake Bailey. What do they have on Mike McDaniel or Chris Greer that they thought this was a good idea? This is not even bargain shopping for a punter. You could have gotten an undrafted free agent that could punt the ball 10 yards further than Jake Bailey can. I don't get it. I'm not going to comment on the Braxton Berrios thing right now because nothing is finalized. But Jake Bailey ranked 30th in punting. The Dolphins were ranked 31st in special teams. They don't return kickoffs. They don't return punts. They kick field goals. That's it. That is the only quality of the special teams, is that you got a good kicker. If you don't want to flip the football field, I mean, I tweeted this the other day. On 4th and 10 from our own 15-yard line, I would rather go for it than let Jake Bailey punt the football 35 yards and allow a return of 8. So then the opposing team is already in field goal range, because that has happened. We saw it in the playoff game. I don't care how cold it was. Did you see Tommy Townsend struggle? He didn't struggle in the cold.
And the Chiefs cut his ass and got someone better.
Yes, they got the punt. They could have, the Dolphins could have had the freaking punt god for nothing. For nothing. And if it didn't work out, you could have had another person there as competition. But here we are. With Jake
Bailey. Teams that win you know what? It's just the punter. I can upgrade it. Let's go. I mean, why not upgrade? What's an easy out? And again, it's not costing. We're talking as a salary cap skyrockets year after year, you know. Upgrading punter when it's going to cost a couple hundred thousand really ain't that big a deal. Really not that big a deal. And the Kansas City Chiefs with Pat Mahomes going to the Hall of Fame, Andy Reid going to the Hall of Fame, Travis Kelce going to the Hall of Fame, won back-to-back Super Bowls. It seemed like they're in the Super Bowl every year. Like, you know what? We want to upgrade our punter to make life easier for our defense. The Dolphins are on the verge of losing everyone on defense. No, we're going to bring back the same crappy punter and put that unit at a disadvantage because this guy can't kick. It blows your mind. So that's why when people say the Dolphins are cursed, they're not cursed. They just make dumb decisions. This is dumb.
They curse themselves with these type of moves.
It's not a curse. It's just stupid.
It's a punter. I get it. It's one point of football. But guess what? In the fourth quarter, if your offense stalls out at their 30-yard line, and your punter shanks it to the midfield, you're giving the game away. You can't have someone who does that, but clearly they show again, they do not value special teams. Danny Crossman still has a job. Mike McDaniel says he has confidence and he knows what he's doing and this and that. I think I can coach the special teams. If the Dolphins want to pay me $500,000 to coach the special teams, I'll be happy to.
Well, the funny part was they fired the assistant special teams coach. Like it was that poor bastard's fault. Oh,
but no, Mike, they do take special teams seriously. They brought in a guy and made him senior advisor to the special teams or whatever the hell it is. So you mean to tell me you're bringing Danny Crossman back, but you got someone now that's going to be in his ear because Danny Crossman doesn't do his job well enough. They hired
him. He needs someone new to point the finger for him. He needs someone new to throw under the bus.
Holy moly.
Need someone new to throw under the bus. All right.
Okay, we got to talk about something else.
Yeah, we're going to talk. And here's the deal. Dolphins have, what, 2 picks in round 6, 1 in round 7. You could have got a punter there with one of those spots. Because odds are the guys in round 6 and 7 are either going straight to the practice squad or getting cut. So they could have used a late round 6, 7th round pick, which they're going to waste anyways, on a punter there. And that probably would have been the wisest choice. Just start from scratch. All right, let's talk about the two big names who are most likely leaving Miami from all reports.
Yep.
Barry Jackson, Miami Herald, earlier this week said it is unlikely that Dolphins are going to be able to re-sign Christian Wilkins and Robert Hunt. You know, it's tough. And, you know, so probably Wilkins, by Monday night, because we are recording, it's now like 8:09 on Sunday night. By 8:09 Monday night, Christian Wilkins is going to have a new home. I mean, I don't see this going. He's going to agree in principle to a deal with somebody. That one's going to happen quick. Robert Hunt might take a couple days, but he's going to have a new team as well, probably really quick. It's tough to see, and it's sad. Now, each one is a unique situation. With Wilkins, it's tough to see because, to me, and I've been preaching this on this podcast for you longtime listeners, 2 years ago, they should have been proactive with this. 100%. I am so sick of our general, you know, and it's not just our general manager, but this mindset of you draft a stud, a blue chipper who is productive from day one, gets better year after year, to hold this. Well, we control them. You know, we got the fifth year option to France. We control, like, that just gives you a reason to procrastinate paying this guy. They should have gave him an extension prior to the fifth year option. So, you know, then they can still use the fifth year option. Then the extension kicks in right after that. They should have been proactive. This guy was good literally from day one. And the first chance they could have gave him an extension, they should have been all over it. They didn't. They played the game, fifth year option. Maybe we'll franchise him, maybe we won't. And it's like we kicked the can down the road, which is my fear. We're going to do this with Waddle and also Jalen Phillips, as well as even Holland, even though he doesn't have a fifth year option. We're just going to, like, not try to give him an extension this year and try to lock him up long term. It's like they always wait to the last minute. These guys bet on themselves, and they always win. Just Miami's luck or lack thereof. So that's the one that really hurts more with Hunt, which I'll talk about in a second. Look, you can replace this production on the field. You can find someone to get you 6, 7, 8 sacks. You can find someone to give you the same amount of tackles. What you're not going to be able to replace is his leadership and the intangibles he brings off the field. Letting your team leader, not just leader of the defense, your team leader walk out the door is, I think, a grave mistake. And I think that will set this franchise back a year or two until someone else ascends to that role. Because you just can't tell someone to be a leader. Someone has to literally go up there, grab the brass ring, grab the mantle, and sort of lead by example. And that doesn't happen overnight. That happens over years.
Yeah, it sucks. I 100% agreed with you at the time that, you know, once they picked up his fifth year option, they needed to get it done. And they picked it up in year four. It's a shame that we're going to see this guy leave the building. He's always been a pleasure to watch. Dominant football player. It's not like he's just a good football player. He's one of the elite ones at his position. And he's improved every single season. And then last summer when they couldn't come to terms on the contract, and he said, you know what, I'm going to bet on myself. Boy, did he do well. Doubled his career sack total, was one of the best run-stuffing defensive tackles in the NFL last season. He was across the board phenomenal. He was a good community man. You know, you see that man every year at the Dolphins Cancer Challenge bike ride. Always in the end zone celebrating with his teammates when they score touchdowns. He's the first guy you see most of the time. The man loves, lives and breathes the game. And he's going to be showing, and he's going away. Now, the trade scenario just was never going to work because Wilkins could have put a kibosh on that and said, no, I'm just going to play for $21 million and I'll become a free agent next year. So they didn't tag him. It's just going to be a shame to see him go. In my opinion, I think he's staying in the AFC. Although there is chatter that he's going to be back and he's going to go sign with Minnesota because they'll have money without Kirk Cousins coming back probably.
And can I tell you the most painful thing to watch?
Sure.
Quick time. If he signs with Houston, if you're a Dolphins fan, you should be irate. Because the Houston Texans, you know, all Dolphins fans laughed how we ripped them off in that trade. Oh, my God. We sent them Tunsil. They totally overpaid. Ha, ha, look at them. They're idiots. Well, they, in that time, have already won a playoff game. They have a young quarterback you can make a case is slightly better than what we have. And to watch Laremy Tunsil anchor 1 line of scrimmage for them, and then to watch Christian Wilkins anchor the other line of scrimmage for them. That would be a tough pill to swallow as a Dolphins fan. And with our luck, they'll probably win a Super Bowl in Hard Rock Stadium in the next 3 to 5 years, and those two are going to be standing on a podium hosting up a Lombardi celebrating a Super Bowl win. I mean, that would be a tough pill to swallow if Christian Wilkins walks and signs with the Houston Texans. I honestly hope he goes anywhere. I'd rather have him go to the Jets or Patriots in Houston right now. And I know that's like crazy to say. I literally would, because if he goes to Houston, that's going to be a tough pill to swallow, as they tore it down, built it back up, had more success than us in the time we're still trying to get like a playoff win in our last rebuild. That would be a tough one. I literally hope he goes anywhere else.
Yeah. I mean, I have him circled for Houston. I think that's a logical landing spot. They have Stroud on a rookie contract for the next 4 years. They've got a ton of cap space. And he's, you know, Christian Wilkins will fit in perfectly. DeMeco Ryans is probably would be salivating at the chance to have Christian Wilkins. But yeah, I mean, New England's got a ton of money. They can throw a ton of money at him. I don't think he'll sign with the Patriots. I think, in my opinion, Houston is the most likely landing spot for him. I would say Minnesota is number two. Detroit's probably going to be on the radar. But
I'm in Detroit. Watch out. Good Lord. Oof.
Yeah. Yeah. Good. Dan Campbell coaching him.
Him and Hutchins and all those guys. Oh, good Lord.
Yeah. Yeah. Detroit's going to be – they would be great. They would be really, really, really good if they get Christian Wilkins. So – to me, that's the landing spots. I would say a sneaky team to look at is maybe Dallas, because their defensive line got pushed around like no other, and adding Christian Wilkins will put a stop to that. But they've also got to get some money on their cap. So a lot can happen. I hate seeing Christian Wilkins go. It's as a fan of the football team, it's one of the worst things you can see is a homegrown talent like Christian Wilkins just walk for what likely will be a third round compensatory pick in 2025. It's just,
yeah. And
it sucks.
I got a question in our chat here from JM. Why didn't we get a comp pick from Mike Gesicki? One, he wasn't tagged. He left as a free agent. Two, you just don't get comp picks. The compensatory pick formula works like this. Once it got, first off, has to be someone of some value. Just can't be any old guy. Now he was a second round pick, Mike Gesicki. He left, but he did nothing with the Patriots. So if a guy leaves and he like plays like crap for the team he goes to, you don't get a compensatory pick. The perfect example would be Juwan James when he left Miami for the Broncos. Like he played like five snaps, snapped his leg, and was out the whole year. Miami did not get a compensatory pick. If he would have played the whole year, even at like an adequate level as a starter, they would have got a compensatory pick. Mike Gesicki did nothing last year. Did nothing. So we don't get a compensatory pick for losing him. Also, which is what – here's why this is going to be such a tough couple months for the Dolphins here. If they lose Wilkins and Hunt, there's two compensatory picks next year in 2025. But if they can't go out there and just sign a bunch of guys, not that they have any money to at the moment, but say they clear the money, they can't just go sign a bunch of guys, because then you offset losing Wilkins and Hunt, and then you don't get a compensatory pick. And trust me, Chris Greer is going to want compensatory picks for both Hunt, which probably be like a fourth rounder, and for Christian Wilkins, which should be a third rounder. But Hunt and Wilkins both have to play next year and play well. It's number one. Two, they have to sign big money deals, which they should. And three, you can't offset that by signing free agents. You can sign guys other teams cut. You can make trades. Yes. But if we just go out there and sign a Patrick Queen for slightly less than what Wilkins made, well, you've just lost a third round compensatory pick pretty much, because you're offsetting the loss with that signing. So that's why fans of Dolphins are going to be probably watching this week. All these guys are signing with teams. How come we're not signing nobody? That's why Chris Greer has to protect the compensatory picks in 2025 and not just go nuts buying a bunch of players. And the guys he does that, it might be via trade. It might be via someone who was cut and not a true free agent, which there is a difference.
Yeah. Now, remember with that compensatory pick formula, if they believe in based on – what they probably have on their drawing board right now is to acquire those two compensatory picks in 2025. You have ammunition with your third round pick. If you know you're getting a third round compensatory pick, you have ammunition with your fourth round pick, knowing you might have ammunition with a compensatory pick. So the trade market that Miami may go after, you know, maybe looking for a starting guard, maybe for a, you know, starting corner. That is, this is the way, you know, not to quote Star Wars, but this is the way. You're signing guys that have been cut. You're probably going to sign low level free agents, but you can give money deals to, you know, you need a safety. Justin Simmons does not count on the compensatory pick formula. He was cut, not a free agent. So those are the types of moves that we should be expecting, because they're going to want those draft picks. They're going to want the capital in their possession, so then they can make potential trades and bring in, I don't want to say any names, but you want to bring in starting quality players, and that's how you do it.
Yeah, because if you know you're going to, let's just say, if you're under the safe assumption, you're going to have an extra third and fourth round pick in 2025. Well, say you have a chance to trade for a guy. I'll trade you 2025 second. Well, I know I'm going to have two picks in the third, two picks in the fourth. Am I picking round one? Okay, I can afford to go round two with it, or something like that. You know, you, it gives you some thought. I'm going to have extra picks next year in those early-ish rounds. So if I want to trade a second or third next year, it's okay. I know I have extra picks in those rounds. So that's kind of the thought process there. Let me say this about Robert Hunt. I like Robert Hunt. He, you know, out of all the offensive linemen Chris Greer has drafted with Austin Jackson, Mike Kuberg, Michael Dieter, he's the only one who was able to play kind of right away. You know, Austin Jackson kind of took the last year. Liam Eichenberg, it kind of took the last year too. I know it's Liam Eichenberg fans aren't a huge fan. He actually blocked well. He's not a center, but when you take away the snapping, he actually blocked well at both left guard, right guard, and center last year. It took him, you know, 3-4 years, these guys. For Hunt, the light bulb kind of went off in year two. So it's going to be sad to see him go, but here's the deal. He's going to get paid north of $15 million per year. I would not pay any guard in this league north of $15 million per year.
No.
So I'm okay with him leaving. It stinks, but I'm okay. The Wilkins one, I think, is just totally avoidable, and we screwed the pooch. The Robert Hunt one, I made my peace. I'm just not paying a guard over 50, and he's probably going to get like 16, 17, or 18, somewhere, some of that crazy amount per year. So I get it. Wish him well. Tip of the cap. Go make your money. But I'm okay. I'm not happy, but I'm okay with Hunt leaving. And I guess my question for you, Tom, is, look, until it's official, nothing's official. You think there's any type of last-ditch effort? Now, we've seen what Chris Jones got paid and what the tackle for the Ravens got paid. Christian Wilkins is probably looking at $24, $25 million or more a year, and probably God knows how much money fully guaranteed. Do you think there's going to be any last-ditch effort at the final hour to try to keep either Hunter Wilkins, or you think Miami is just at this point moved on?
I don't want to say it's a done deal. I don't want to say there's a 0% chance. There's always a chance. And when you look at the structure of God, if I can announce his last name, the Ravens defensive tackle that just got re-signed to that four-year, four-year, 90-something million dollars. When you look at the structure of his deal, his cap hit for this upcoming season is $12 million. In year two of that deal, it's about $18 million. In year three, that jumps over $25 million. And the team has an out in the fourth year if they so decide to do so. If you can find a way and structure a contract like that, because that's not – I mean, it's not clearly Chris Jones' money, but that's likely scenario what Christian Wilkins is going to look at in the market. I would throw that deal at him and say, look – let's give you this contract, maybe a couple million more than the other guy, and get him on the books. And his cap hit can be in that 12 to 14, $15 million range, and keep the cap hit low the following year. You're basically just giving him all the guaranteed money up front, right? You're guaranteed at signing is what most likely will happen for a Christian Wilkins type deal if he was to come back to the Dolphins. But it's up to Chris Greer to make that offer, right? And there's, again, it could have been avoided years ago when the market for a, you know, top 3-4 defensive tackle was in the $16 to $18 million range. Now we're talking $25 million a season, which is a ton of money for a defensive tackle. But for a guy like Christian Wilkins, who, like I said, is, I was, in my opinion, he's top three, top four easily in the NFL at that position. And you know what he brings to the table. I would make that last ditch offer. And when I say last ditch offer, I'm talking 11:59 a.m. on Monday. That's when that's where that offer is coming. We also don't know if Christian Wilkins and Chris Greer said, you know, all right, hey, you know what? Before I sign potentially anywhere else, I'll show you the numbers. If you can match it, great. If you're not, I'm going to sign somewhere else. If Christian Wilkins gives the Dolphins a chance, Brandon Shore is not stupid. I think he's very good at the cap. Let him look at it and try to configure the cap that's going to help this team for the foreseeable future for the next 2 years. But what that contract will do to help the team is you retain Christian Wilkins. That's priority number one. I'm not holding my breath. But if you're going to look and model a contract, look at the kid from Baltimore, model the contract exactly like that, maybe with a modification here or there, so you have Christian Wilkins in the fold guaranteed for the next 3 years, and then in the fourth year, do what you need to do. I think that's the best thing. I just don't see it happening. I hope it happens. I'm not closing the door just yet until I see Christian Wilkins is signing with Team X. But Miami's last-ditch effort should have been starting days ago to try to keep him in the fold, and they only have, give or take, 15 and a half hours to get it done before the tampering period opens, because at that point he's gone.
Yeah. I don't know. It's I think that ship has probably sailed, but you never know. Cause I know a couple years ago, everyone thought Emmanuel Ogba was out the door, and he had a deal signed pretty much with the Bills, which got leaked after the legal tampering period started. And Chris Greer, like literally the last 10 minutes before the legal tampering period, signed Ogba to a huge money deal when everyone thought he was out the door. So crazier things have happened, but we will see. Two more topics here and we'll wrap up. Number one, I wrote an article that's up on the website right now at DolphinsTalk.com about my Miami Dolphins 5-point plan for free agency. Again, we know the salary cap constraints with the money. We know they're going to clear about another $20 million or so just to become cap compliant by Wednesday. They'll probably clear a little bit more so they can make some moves. Obviously, you know, there's Armstead, whatever's going on there. They're probably going to restructure Ramsey. They're probably going to restructure Hill. I wouldn't restructure Chubb. They probably will. And who knows what else. They're going to have some money to play with. But I don't think they're going to be shopping on Rodeo Drive for the big ticket items. I think it's going to be more some Walmart shopping here, getting guys at value deals, veterans on one-year deals, two-year deals, easy outs after a year. So, Tom, I'm going to read you my five-point plan. I'm just going to go through the 5 points. You comment on what I have here after you hear what I got to say. Number one, re-sign Andrew Van Ginkle. I can lose Hunt. I can lose Christian Wilkins. You got to keep Andrew Van Ginkle for the simple fact, as we've said, Chubb probably not going to play much, if at all, next year. Jalen Phillips, even if he does play come like November-ish, he won't look the same. Someone's got to rush the passer here. And out of the three big names that are up, he's the most affordable, most realistic to retain. And you at least have someone who can get after the quarterback week one next year, who you can count on, let's just say. So move number one, re-sign Andrew Van Ginkle. Number two, sign a veteran wide receiver. Right now, there are two types of Miami Dolphins fans. Fans who understand that wide receiver is a need for the Dolphins and fans that are clueless. I know Miami has Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle. I get it. After that, they have nothing. Eric Uzakama is the only other guy under contract, coming off a neck injury. Who knows if he's ever going to be the same again. The Dolphins need – they can't be so Tyreek Hill dependent. They need other options in the passing game. Jonnu Smith's going to help because he's a tight end who can also – you know, run like a wide receiver, but they need other wide receivers, because as much as Jonnu Smith is a great signing. This is still a wide receiver-based offense. They need to sign a veteran wide receiver. Now, they're not going to go out there, and they're not going to sign a Ridley or a Tyler Boyd, but there are guys like a Donovan Peoples-Jones, a Mac Hollins, maybe even a Darnell Mooney, although I know they got a ton of money, the Bears. They'll probably just keep them. But those types of players, capable, proven wide receivers. If you want to bring back Trent Sheerfield, go for it. Guys like that, who at least I know can play and are way better than Robbie Chosen, Chase Claypool, Braxton Berrioses of the world. They'll sign a veteran wide receiver. Number three, bring back Isaiah Wynn and Connor Williams. Do I want – here's the deal. Isaiah Wynn was a bust with the Patriots. The half a season he played last year with Miami, he was okay. He was okay. I want to bring him in to compete for one of the guard spots.
Yep.
And if he doesn't win it, he's depth. Connor Williams, post June 1st, because he's pretty much said he's not going to sign after June 1st. I don't know what you do the first half of the year at center. It can't be Liam. But if you can get him at a reasonable deal, again, he's your center, and whoever else you get, then you at least have a capable number two center. And I think if Liam Eichenberg is your starting right guard, replacing Hunt, or your new starting left guard, it's not the end of the world. A, it's a contract year for him. He'll be motivated. And like I said last year, when he wasn't snapping, he blocked fantastic. So I would like to have Eichenberg actually on the line or as your first guy off the bench. So signing those two guys, not unreasonable contracts. I think it's realistic. All these 5 points are realistic. I'm not saying Miami's going out there and signing big ticket items. So we got sign Andrew Van Ginkle, sign a veteran wide receiver, and sign Wynn and Connor, number four, and a veteran cornerback. Like we said at the top, Howard's gone. We don't know what we got in Cam Smith. We don't know if Elliott's coming back. We don't know if Jones is coming back. No one wants Eli Apple back. So bring in guys like a Jeff Okuda, Jalen Mills, J.C. Jackson, guys who really, you know, veterans, not as bad as Eli Apple, but also not going to break the bank. You're not going to get a Kenny Moore. You're not going to get a Witherspoon. You're not going to get a Sean Murphy bunting type. They're too expensive. But that next level of guy, cheap, I think, just to pair with Cam Smith, in case Cam Smith isn't any good, to have some experience there at number two corner. And the last one, again, obvious, get a nose tackle slash defensive tackle. Christian Wilkins probably gone. Raekwon Davis might be gone too. No Agba. First half of the year, no Chubb. No, who the hell's going to play on the front seven for the Dolphins? And again, you're not going to get big money guys. Jadeveon Clowney has been Chris Greer's Moby Dick. He's been chasing this guy forever. He's tried like three, four, five times over the past 5 or 6 years to sign him. True. Now, it actually makes sense. It actually makes sense. You get Clowney on a 1 or 2 year deal. He can be one of the pieces that helps replace Christian Wilkins. Also, for Raekwon Davis, John Jenkins, bring him back. Adam Butler, guys you can bring back at a reasonable price. Know Miami, know the area, know the organization, can maybe fill in for a Raekwon. Another name to keep an eye on, if they're not going to pay Wilkins, but they are prepared, let's say Wilkins wants like $50, $60 million all guaranteed, $25 million a year. But they want to pay him like $20 million and like $35 million guaranteed, $40. You can put that money into Leonard Williams and probably get him. Now, a little bit younger, productive, and will cost less than Wilkins. If they want to spend money on someone, that might be the guy you get to replace a Christian Wilkins. So that's my 5-point plan, Tom. Tell me what you agree with. Tell me where you think I'm wrong. What are your thoughts?
I like the idea of trying to keep Andrew Van Ginkle. I think he's a Philadelphia Eagle already. Knowing that they're trying to get rid of Hassan Reddick in a trade, I think they're going to allocate funds, and clearly Vic Fangio likes Andrew Van Ginkle. So I could see Van Ginkle end up as an Eagle, as much as I would want him back with the Dolphins. For the wide receiver aspect, I'm 100% on board. You need to backfill. You need quality guys. You know, you cannot be Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle dependent. You need to have other football players at that position that can get open, that can, you know, give you some extra yardage after the catch, because at that point it then opens up opportunity for Tyreek Hill and Jalen Waddle if you have other weapons. So to me, one name that I threw out there, which actually makes a little bit of sense just based on his style of play and what he does really well, is Michael Thomas. The Saints are paying his tab. He's going to come.
I can't add another crazy person to wide receiver.
He's nuts. But what does he do very well? He runs to the middle of the football field a lot.
Yeah.
And he catches a lot of passes. He may not be the guy he was 4 or 5 years ago when he was catching passes from Drew Brees. But I would put some stake into him. He's going to come cheap. He can be your number three wide receiver. And all is well, right? Probably won't happen, but that's just an idea. I love the thought of a Darnell Mooney type. I thought he was good with Chicago. I think he just got lost in a shuffle because Justin Fields couldn't read beyond the snap. He was already outside the pocket running around trying to get yardage with his legs. So he was an afterthought there, especially when they brought in DJ Moore. Not going to bring in Odell Beckham Jr. That's a 0% chance. Nobody.
He's another crazy person out there. Here's the Dolphins. The Dolphins have to get less crazy. Robbie Chosen was crazy. Chase Claypool, not so much crazy, but lazy. Tyreek Hill, which I'm talking about next, crazy. Xavier Howard, crazy. The Dolphins have to get – they have to have less crazy factor on their roster. Look, I don't need a room filled with altar boys, but you got to limit your crazy to like one or two guys, and that's it. And that's why I like Odell Beckham, Michael Thomas. Even if they can still go, not especially in South Florida with that nightlife and off the field distractions, they have to limit the crazy. They're just not going to win with that much crazy on the roster. You got to, you know, one or two guys that can live with. I can't live with all, because clearly, let's be honest, it really hasn't worked. I mean, you got to have some normalcy on this roster and you can't keep bringing in the crazy.
Some of the other, the Jadeveon Clowney thing we talked about prior, I think, you know, he's chased him for years and years and years, and Clowney has decided to always sign somewhere else. Well, Anthony Weaver had coached him to a great season in Baltimore last year, and I can see that as a possibility that he comes with Anthony Weaver to Miami, and at least you have someone there with experience. He could still do the job fairly well. He's not going to be as expensive as he was when they were chasing him 3 years ago in free agency. So I would love to see Jadeveon Clowney as a Dolphin. That's going to help with the pass rush. Obviously, you're going to need more pass rushers while you wait for your two stud pass rushers to come back. I mean, I think Phillips will be back sometime late September, beginning of October. Chubb, completely up in the air. Hopefully he plays next year, but, you know, we'll see. Liam Eikenberg at center gives me absolute nightmares. Liam Eikenberg playing a guard position didn't bother me much last year, to be honest. I don't think he's great by any stretch, but when he was playing guard, I thought he was okay. And he's a cheap contract, right? And what did we find out with Liam last year? Play pretty much anywhere in the interior. Center, he wasn't very good.
He just couldn't snap the ball.
Correct. He couldn't snap well. Everything was low. And everything with Connor Williams is high. So can we find a center that can snap maybe into his chest? That would be great. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that's going to happen, Mike. It's really hard to see some of the moves that we all want to see be made depending on how the cap shakes out. And like you said at the top, Mike, Dolphins have work to do. They have to restructure contracts. We'll see what happens with Armstead's deal. If that frees up $10 million, that would be fantastic. We know Tyreek Hill's money is probably going to get kicked down the road, or maybe he signs a year extension. That really will help. Ramsey's going to free up close to $18.5 million on a restructure. Once they get the money, which they will have, they'll be cap compliant. They may not show that they're cap compliant before 4 p.m., but once 4 p.m. hits, we're going to know all the moves that gets them cap compliant, because those contract signings become official and you have to be under the cap at that time. So a lot of things are going to be moving fast and furious. I see a big move. I don't know what it is.
I see one big move.
But we can't put it past Chris Greer, because he makes a splashy move every freaking offseason when we least expected. Who had Jalen Ramsey on their bingo card last year? I know I didn't.
This is 1 year. I think it happened 1 year ago. Was it yesterday? Maybe.
Yeah.
It was somewhere around. Hold on. I'll tell you the exact date. I got it right here.
Yeah.
It was March 12th. So it's a leap year. Cause I think it was a Sunday. Cause I remember I was out and about on a Sunday.
Yeah.
I had to race home and get stuff up on the web. So it might've been finalized on the 12th, but I think it was announced.
It was like a Wednesday. I think it was a Wednesday last
finalized year. On a Wednesday because that's
start. I was at the library year. With my daughter and I had to stop reading the book for a second.
It was like this was like, Sunday what? Last year is when it was announced.
Yeah.
So I agree. I think there's a big move coming in. I think it's a trade. Here's the deal. Chris Greer is in love with that first round pick he has this year, 21. I think pick 55 is totally up for grabs. Because I just think whoever he trades for is going to be way better than whoever he picks at 55. And with that first pick, he gets a fifth year option. That second one, he doesn't. I think he'd be more than happy to part with 55, knowing he can trade back from 21 and probably gain a third. And you'll still have two picks in the first three rounds. I think if there is a move to be made, it will be via trade. I think there's going to be a team, kind of like what the Browns did with Jerry Judy. It's more of a salary dump, one-year rental. His contract's about up. We'll take him for a few late-round picks. It might be someone better than a Jerry Judy. Not even saying wide receiver at any position, but, you know, part with that second round. If it's a second-round pick, you're talking Snead. Or I could see them parting like fifth and sixth for a player of some sort. I think if anything happens here next week with a big-time move, it probably will be via trade. Just a guess. I think it's going to be – I think there's a trade coming of some sort. And I think he's going to – I do think he's going to keep Andrew Van Ginkel. I think he's going to find a way because compared to the other guys, Hunt and Wilkins, that's more realistic and more feasible. And, again, who the hell is going to rush the passer next year if you let him walk too? I think we could see a combination of, like, sign Andrew Van Ginkel, then maybe make a trade, and then Miami sits back. Because here's the deal. Tua's restructure, which has been reported, it can happen to the summer. That ain't happening right away. So that money that they're going to save with his restructure ain't going to kick in till like June, maybe.
Miami's going to have like July. $40 million post June 1st.
Yeah, that's the deal. And if they're smart, and I don't know if Dolphins fans wants to hear this, bank it. Roll over 2025. And then next year, this weekend, we're talking about being in play for some big name items. This year, here's the deal. 2024 is going to be tough with the Chubb and Jalen Phillips not being there for half or most of the year. And even if he gets on the field, either one of them, they're not going to just like pick up where they left off. It's going to be, they're not going to look like their normal selves. It's going to take a bit. It's like this year is going to be a challenge. AFC is so difficult, so loaded. Not having those two pieces at the for most of the year, we have to be realistic. This might not be a team that's like a Super Bowl contender in 2024, but you want them fully healthy for 2025. You want a bunch of money under the cap. So next year, this weekend, we're having a totally different conversation, Tom, how Miami's in on whoever the big-name free agents are.
Yep.
I would write it out with Tua whenever that happens because it's going to happen, whether I want it or not, whether you want it. It's going to happen, folks.
Yeah.
You got to live in reality. You're going to save a bunch of money there. Howard's money comes off the cap. You're going to save a bunch of money there. Save it because next year this time, then you can be very active again. And improve the team that way.
Yeah, we're not going to see the massive jump in cap space like we saw this year. I think
it'll go up, but it
is not going to be the amount that it went up. I think it was what 25. Well, 30
here's the deal: if they add the 18th game, if they sell off another playoff game to a streamer, and if they sell it another game overseas, it might not jump that much, but it's going to be a significant jump. And those are three things that are very likely to happen. So we'll see. Last topic here, and I'll talk about it. Tom, if you don't want to, you don't have to. I know it's a touchy subject. This Tyreek Hill. And I know this last incident, he wasn't there for the fight. He left, which is good. He left. Here's the deal. Trouble finds this guy. There's never a quiet moment with him. He clearly hangs around with the wrong group of people. Okay. That's clear. Now, last year, he was around for the fight when he slapped a guy in the head at the marina. This year, I guess he had the good sense to just walk away before stuff spiraled out of control. Live and learn. I guess he's learning. But it's becoming exhausting with this guy seeing a headline every other week, whether it's multiple paternity suits, whether it's breaking a model's leg, whether it's something at the marina last year. It's always something. And there comes a point where there's going to be one of these incidences that's not going to be laughed off. Now, the thing at the Marina last year, people forget, he had to go meet with a committee. He had to leave training camp for a day, have a one-on-one meeting with Roger Goodell over it. And I know nothing happened. Nothing happened that time. There's going to be a time where one of these stupid incidences are going to bite him in the butt, and he's going to get suspended or a small suspension. You cannot have this amount of incidents in a short amount of time and keep thinking they're all just, oh, it's no big deal. So he's on the Antonio Brown career path. It's kind of sad to watch. This guy's way more talented than Antonio Brown is. He's a first ballot Hall of Famer, but this is becoming, like I said, exhausting. And also, I mentioned part of the reason Miami needs a wide receiver. Yeah, because it's Hill and Waddle and they got nothing else. The other reason is you need dummy insurance for Tyreek Hill at this point. You need dummy insurance in case, you know, he does something off the field that costs him a suspension here. This guy is so talented on the field. One of the most talented wide receivers I've seen in my lifetime. It's like Jerry Rice, Terrell Owens, this guy. I mean, he's in the conversation. Randy Moss, like top three, top five wide receivers I've ever seen as long as I've been on this earth. He is that good. He's the best player the Miami Dolphins have had since Dan Marino, and that's counting Zach Thomas, counting Jason Taylor. On the field, he is that good. But what this guy does off the field, and some of it with the paternity suits, not really any of my business, but when it starts making headlines, then we have to talk about that stuff. I don't know. I know money changes people. I know money can just do crazy things for people, but someone in this guy's life has to be like, dude, you know, and from all the reports, the thing that happened last night, I guess not his fault, but it's just trouble finds him. And you know what? We don't know the whole story. Who knows what was said before something happened that forced him to leave. But at some point, it just becomes one thing after another. And you're just waiting for the next one, which, you know, isn't going to be one that you can just laugh off. So I hope Tyreek, he has people around him who can, you know, at least he left last night. That's all. I guess that's the positive from the story. But as a fan of the organization, want to see the organization win. I don't know. We've seen this story before with rich famous athletes who just spiral out of control. And I think we're seeing Tyreek in real time spiral out of control. And it's sad because he's too good. And he could make like NFL history with some of the records he could break and stuff, but he's like sabotaging his own career in some ways. So we'll see. Hopefully the rest of the offseason is quiet, but not banking on it you got a model's leg in his backyard, breaking her leg, paternity, having three kids from three different women in a year, getting married, then he wants a divorce. No, he don't want a divorce. It's always something. And it's like, good God. And, you know, how can someone's focus be on football when you got this much chaos happening off the field? I don't know. But it's sad to see because I think we all see where the story's going at this point.
Yeah. I'm glad that he walked away from the situation last night. Still not good that how things happened. Obviously, again, we don't know the story. We don't know all the pieces. The main piece is he wasn't there for the fight. You know, he got up, he left the building. That was it. So kudos to him for doing that. But yeah, the headlines and things
just keep coming.
I would like them to slow down. It's hard to keep up, you know, and I'd like a more quiet off season myself. But as of right now, it's fast and furious, you know, and it's going to just keep picking up. Hopefully not for the wrong reasons. Tyreek Hill, phenomenal wide receiver. Like you said, probably one of the better ones that we've witnessed over the course of, you know, the last 10 years easily. He's such a dynamic player. He's been so good for this football team. 3,500 yards in two seasons is crazy to think about how good
first ballot Hall of Famer, not even up for debate.
No, he's
best wide receiver in this organization's history. Not even up for debate. Better than Warfield, better than Clayton, better than Duper. Not even up for debate. He's that good. But man, it's exhausting after a while. Just like, dude, I don't know. And I know this is the one where I didn't do anything. I left. I get it. But if he didn't have the 50 other things, It's like, it's tough to give anyone the benefit of the doubt anymore when you have that many things against you. It's like, Tom, you're a parent, and I know your children are angels, but if one of them did something bad over and over again, and then like the ninth time, they go, really, I didn't do it. You go, yeah, but I can't give you the benefit of the doubt because the last eight times you did do, you know what I mean? It's like, it's just, it's tough, but it is what it is. It is what it is. But yeah, free agency here this week, Fast and Furious. We'll have probably multiple shows. I mean, we're going to have shows probably every day this week. Some days we'll probably have multiple shows. Keep checking out the website, dolphinstalk.com, for all the latest. When news breaks and stuff, we'll have it up on the website. Also, follow us on Twitter at Dolphins Talk, at Dolphins Talk Tom, for all the latest there. Hey, if you're watching this on YouTube, subscribe to the channel, smash that like button. If you're not, well, go to our YouTube channel, subscribe to the channel, smash that like button, leave comments up in our videos. I will try to respond to all of them that are, you know, like, make sense and they're nice. If you're just call me an asshole, I'm not going to respond. So do that. We're trying to grow the YouTube. So go to our YouTube channel, subscribe, smash that like button, and spread the word of YouTube. Check out my interview with Ricky Williams from earlier this week. Spoke about a lot of topics. Spoke about his first 2 years in Miami and the workload. He spoke about quality of carries versus quantity of carries and how that played a factor in him retiring. Spoke about his minor league baseball career. We spoke about his time on reality TV with The New Apprentice with Arnold Schwarzenegger and Celebrity Big Brother. Spoke about his company Heisman and how that's growing and expanding. Spoke about we spoke about why he picked Texas and what were his second, third, and fourth schools if he didn't go to Texas. Spoke about all of that and NIL. So check out that interview with Ricky. I see you got a comment here from Garrett. No, I watch Mark Clayton live. I'm old enough to watch Mark Clayton. Okay. Tyreek Hill's better than Mark Clayton. And here's something else. Not a knock on Tua. Tyreek Hill ain't got a Hall of Famer throwing him the ball. Okay. Tyreek Hill ain't got a Hall of Famer throwing him the ball. Mark Clayton's great. Not a knock on Clayton. Hill's better. And a lot better, honestly. So there's that. So everyone, thank you for listening. We'll talk to you again after a while. And folks, please remember, we must put an end to highway profanity.
Hands up.
Thank you for listening to the DolphinsTalk.com podcast. Be sure to visit DolphinsTalk.com every day for all of your latest Miami Dolphins news.